They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. We have today with us Bodie Hodge. He's been a regular on this program. He is one of our chief content people at Answers in Genesis, one of our main speakers for Answers in Genesis. And we are going to speak today about that amazing time of year, the time that we come together and we celebrate, we think specifically upon the birth of Christ, that God became man. Thanks, Bodie, for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be on the show again.
It really is great to have you. And I want to talk about this because we have actually put out a book on Christmas. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, the book is called War on Christmas. And, you know, I've had people out there say, really, a war on Christmas? Are we sure there's a war on Christmas? But you know what? As you go unfold some of these pages, you'll notice that, yes, there is something going on in today's culture. Most Christians would probably step back and recognize it right off the bat. And one of the things we wanted to do with this book was to get some of the answers out there to people so that they can understand the holiday that much better, that they can understand a defensive Christmas, mm-hmm. As well as just get some of the details that a lot of people had misconceptions about.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, in talking about that war on Christmas, because there is that a focus, there's a secularism in society, there's, you know, people saying, hey, we're hearing a lot about, you know, call it happy holidays, not Merry Christmas, those sorts of things. We'll talk about that in time. But there are people that are also telling us, hey, as Christians, you shouldn't be celebrating Christmas. You shouldn't have anything to do with it because it's a pagan holiday. So I want to ask you, is it?
Well, not at all. You know, obviously the first Christmas goes back to the pages of the Bible, and it's talking about when Christ stepped into history. That was the first Christmas. You know, we saw the shepherds come and worship. You know, we have the angels, you know, that spoke eloquently, you know, at that particular time. I mean, it is an incredible time. That was the first Christmas. Now, there was a pagan holiday about a week before Christmas. It was called Saturnalia. It was one of those Roman festivals to their supposed god, Saturn. And, of course, Saturn is not a god at all by any means. Fact is, if you guys want a little side note, this is kind of a neat little nugget anyway. Saturn is the Roman equivalent of the Greek god Kronos. And Kronos had some variant names and some things that went along with him. But one of the variant forms is Kittim, which happens to be one of Noah's great-grandsons. So what it was an actual biblical person who had been elevated to a godlike status, which is sad. But one since the pagans took over that holiday one way or another. But that particular holiday actually ended on December 23rd. It began, I believe, on the 17th. So it wasn't at all at the same time as Christmas. So, you know, people have promoted that idea that, oh, well, the Christians didn't want to celebrate that, so they kind of came up with their own little holiday. Here is an alternative. It's without basis. Now, there was another pagan holiday later on called Sol Invictus, and that particular holiday got started about 325 AD. Now, there's problems with that one because that was well after we have documentation for Christians celebrating Christmas on December 25th.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got some old records of Christians.
So how far back does that go?
Yeah, it goes as far back as about 200 AD. There were Christians celebrating Christmas at that particular time. So, I mean, it goes back quite a ways. But my guess is people were celebrating that beforehand. It's just we only have records of it from that particular time forward.
But, you know, we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, that wonderful, the incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, Isn't that something we should celebrate every day?
You know, it really is. And, you know, a lot of times we miss that. You know, even we as Christians, you know, we go throughout the year and then we're like, oh, it's Christmas time. Now we can celebrate that. But, we, you know, we need to step back and say, you know what, we can worship God on any day. We can talk about the birth of Christ any day of the year. You know, I mean, we need to step back and understand the gravity of all this. I mean, this is God who became flesh. This is the Son of God stepping into history to become a man, to become our relative.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes throughout the year, we just go along, you know, getting a little sermon here or there and doing a little Christian stuff here and there, and we don't step back and just gravitate on this the whole year.
Shouldn't it just make us, I mean, really, it makes me shudder just thinking about it. I think about scriptures such as Philippians 2, for instance, Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not grasp on to his place on the throne, but he came in the nature of a servant, becoming nothing, born as a man. I mean,
I know.
Wow.
He humbled himself, became obedient even to death on a cross. I mean, just consider, you know, he stepped out of that glory to come down and become one of us. I mean, that is a loving God.
One of the most amazing things for me to ponder about Jesus Christ, because when I think of total independence, God, he needs nothing, but he became man as a little baby, needing even to be supplied food from his parents, and that there is an eternity of difference between those two things.
I know.
Yeah, it is just amazing. Okay, well, talking about Christ's birth and okay, so, you know, we shouldn't get waylaid by, you know, we don't need to worry about it being a pagan holiday or anything like that, and we should indeed celebrate Christ's birth every day, but are we celebrating it on the right day when we're celebrating in December 25?
Hey, you know, that is a great question. You know, flip a coin, yes or no, right? You know, we really don't know. And, you know, you can look in the pages of Scripture, and the Bible just simply doesn't reveal that information to us. You know, some people have tried to gather, hey, can we figure out a time of the year? I mean, shepherds were out there with their flocks at night. You know, maybe it was a little bit warmer. You know, some people have tried to say, well, maybe it wasn't some of the colder months, things like that. You know, we've had some people say, well, we know a relationship between Christ and John the Baptist. There were 6 months in between there, between the conceptions. And so people thought, well, maybe if we can figure out when John the Baptist was born, we could figure out when Christ was born. And so they said, well, let's try to tally this based on when John's father was at the temple.
Yeah.
You know, because they had a regular schedule and things like that. But there's so much still shrouded in mystery, especially when the Jews came out of captivity and they restarted up you know, the different things going on at the temple. We simply just don't have enough detail for us to say, yes, we know. When it comes right down to it, I don't know if that was an actual date or if some Christians just selected it. Like I said, you know, by the time about 200 AD, people were celebrating it on the 25th. You know, I think it's going to be funny, Steve. We're gonna get to heaven, and the Lord's going to say, you know what? I was born on the 25th. Guess what? but no, actually, we really just don't know.
You know, to me, it is a great day, though, because our family looks forward to it. It's not just a day when we get around together and eat heaps of food, like Thanksgiving, you know, just get around and eat heaps of food. We should be actually thankful that day. We should be able to, you know, take the time to actually use it. To be thankful in the Lord, to be thankful in the Lord on Christmas Day for Christ's birth. And our family has certain traditions that we do. We come around the Word of God first thing before we do anything in the morning and just really spend time meditating on what Christ has done for us.
That's good. You know, and I want to encourage Christians to do that. You know, there's a lot of Christians who, they get caught up in the meal and the presents, and phew, that's what they do. And they don't step back and say, hey, let's have a time of prayer. Let's have a time of scripture reading. You know, I've encouraged people, you know, a lot of people, they just want to sit down, they want to read, oh, let's go to Matthew or Luke. You know, when they do a scripture reading and they just kind of read through the account briefly, I'd like to encourage people, go back, you know, go all the way back to something like Genesis 3:15 and look at some of these messianic prophecies throughout the Old Testament, go up to Isaiah and then read that account. I'll tell you what, it brings a lot more to life. And I want to encourage Christians to do things like that, because that really helps get us back to the Word of God, number one, and it gets the family together focused on the Scriptures as well.
Well, we live in a world that doesn't want us to do that. We live in a world now where you walk out, and I mean, really, why should we expect anything less? When you don't love God, when you haven't come to Christ, why should you want to celebrate his birth and what that was all about. In what ways are you seeing that antagonism against that celebrating the birth of Christ?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, we're seeing all sorts. In fact, a lot of people could probably, contact the ministry here or let us know one way or another the way that they've had personal experience with this type of war on Christmas.
Mm.
But just to give people an idea, I mean, we're seeing an attack on nativity scenes. Public places are removing them or they're being threatened to be sued. In fact, we're even seeing private places that may have a nativity scene. People are threatening to sue them even though it's private. It's hard to believe. You know, we've seen these billboards that the atheists are putting up attacking Christmas. Oh, you can be good without Christ and you don't need Christ in Christmas and stuff like that. I mean, that's what we're starting to see, those types of attacks.
Mm.
We're seeing people, just attack a whole variety of issues surrounding Christmas. You know, they don't want to say Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who want to put up Xmas, even though they don't realize that the X actually means
Christ
right. In Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you still pronounce it Christmas. But, you know, nowadays people are putting the X in there because they're wanting to X out Christ.
Yeah.
And so they're, that's just a host of things that are going on.
But every time we see those things, Bodhi, and we're actually talking to people, like they're right in front of our face, shouldn't we be seeing that as a witnessing opportunity?
Absolutely.
So how would you do that? I mean, how do you bring people who are doing these things, saying these things against Christmas and turn it around so that they can understand the context of Christmas?
Well, one of the things that I would suggest people should do, and a lot of Christians don't do this, is kind of turn it around and say, oh, okay, you don't believe in Christmas? Oh, I take it you're going to work that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a holiday, right? You should tell your boss, hey, I don't honor Christmas. I want to work on that day. The fact is, I don't even want time and a half because I don't honor that as a holiday. And the fact is, you can even point out, if you want to be like that, how about you just get rid of all holidays? Because all holidays are holy days. That implies something's holy, that there is a God that's holy behind this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole concept of a holy day or a holiday is based on Christian principles, comes from the pages of Scripture, ultimately.
Yep.
Fact is, even a weekend's like that. I know our secularists out there, they love their weekends, but let's face it, a weekend comes from the Bible because God created in 6 days. He rested on the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord resurrected on the first day of the week. That's why we have a weekend.
Mm.
A consistent person who is opposed to Christianity and wants to remove it from society, they shouldn't have a weekend. They shouldn't have holidays. They should just work all the time until they die like the bees, if they were consistent. And see, what you do with that, when you tell somebody this, say, hey, if you want to be consistent with your religion, do this. And they're going to step back and say, I like weekends.
Yeah.
I like holidays. Maybe I like Christmas a little bit more than I thought. But it gets them to think because they don't realize that they have a religion and they're trying to force that religion on others.
But one of the other problems is that when we're speaking to people and we want to say there is a reason, there is something important about Christ, why do they bother? Why do they bother needing to worry about Christ? We need to contextualize it, don't we?
That's right. We need to bring it home to them. See, a lot of these guys, they don't understand why they need Christ, why Christ needed to step into history. And this is a great time to say, hey, let's go back and let's talk about this. Let me explain Christmas in a way that they probably have never heard it.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about contextualizing Christmas on our next program. But before we do that, how long has this book been out?
This book's only been out for a couple of months. Fact is, I think it's only been out for about maybe a month, month and a half at that. But, you could probably pick it up in your local Christian bookshops, or you could get it at our website, answersingenesis.org. And I tell you what, it's a great book, and I want to encourage people to get into it. It's a beautiful-looking book as well.
So. It is. It's actually really well put together, and the illustrations are beautiful in it. And would you recommend it for high school age or for parents or who?
Oh, I tell you what, from junior high on up, would have a heyday with this book. It is a great book, easy to read. Gets rid of some of the misconceptions surrounding Christmas, lays out the timeline, things like that. I mean, the little things you sometimes miss. I would suggest families could get together and have a great time with this. But you know what I would also suggest? I would suggest people could get this book and give it to a non-Christian friend and say, hey, you want to find out a little bit more about Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Here, take a look. Because really, it's a teaching book. And, it's a great witnessing opportunity because the gospel is throughout this book.
That's wonderful. It's not all tinsel and trees, folks. It is about Jesus, God who became man, stepped into history to take our sin upon himself by dying on the cross and rising again. Thanks, Bodhi. We'll talk again soon. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.